This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
John Calipari has voluntarily left Kentucky to become the head coach at Arkansas. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. When you think about all the things going on today, we have a solar eclipse at what, 2 p.m. Eastern time or whatever it is?
I thought it was at 3.
3 p.m.
Eastern? 3 too, yeah.
Okay, 3 p.m. My bad. 3 p.m. Eastern time today that the world is like up in arms. People are driving into Cleveland from like hours away because that's like the center of it, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it's like Buffalo, like Niagara Falls area. That's it. Yeah, like there's and parts of Texas and, you know.
It's crazy.
Sunbelt. You know, it's interesting. We had an earthquake on Friday.
That was so weird.
And now we're having a solar eclipse. Today, it's just like, I don't know, I'm a little on edge, Smalls. I've got a little angst in me.
So, the earthquake happened right after the show on Friday. Rob and I were at the Tin Building. I was getting a coffee, and I felt it. And the woman behind the counter, the barista, was like, earthquake! And the guy next to me was like, that's not even funny. Don't even say that. And then it was one.
It's an earthquake.
And then I was taking the ferry after that to go to New Jersey to visit my family. And I'm getting on the ferry and somebody's like, we got to watch out for a tsunami after the earthquake. I was like, well, should I be getting on a boat? Is this what I should be doing
exactly,
right now?
Exactly. All of these questions, we're not equipped to be able to answer these questions. We're not used to earthquakes around here.
I didn't know what to do.
We saved that for our friends on the left coast. We're not supposed to get earthquakes in New York City.
No, the fact that they deal with that all the time, people in California, it blows my mind. That was one of the weirdest things that's ever happened to me.
So the ground was moving on Friday, yes. And now the sky is going to be dark in the middle of the day. It feels like Armageddon is coming.
Okay, I
don't know.
What is it?
Is Bruce Willis going to show up? Is Ben Affleck going to be around? Like, who's going to save us? I don't know what's happening right now.
Do you know how to explain it, though? Is it so the sky goes dark and then there's ring? Like, what happens exactly today? Because my kids have early dismissal from school because of this, and they give them glasses.
Yeah, you have specific glasses.
Yeah, somebody told me not to look directly at the eclipse.
Okay, so then don't do that, obviously.
So I guess if you have the glasses, you can.
But even that, I feel like.
But if you don't look directly at the eclipse. It can mess with your eyes.
So we have a solar eclipse today at 3 p.m. Eastern. We had WrestleMania the last two nights. We had a special on ESPN Radio on Saturday night. Get that on the podcast, wherever podcasts are available.
There's no podcast.
Oh, there's no podcast. Sorry. I was trying to hype you up.
It was a great show, though.
Pat produced it. I was trying to hype him up. He doesn't want it. We had South Carolina win yesterday, against Iowa. And we have the national championship game in UConn and Purdue tonight. And yet John Calipari is somehow taking the headlines away from all of those things this morning as he goes to Arkansas in a move that, let's be honest, is unprecedented. We've never seen a head coach, at least to my knowledge, at this kind of school with this kind of success voluntarily leave for a program in the same conference that is deemed to be a lesser program, still a good program, don't get me wrong, and he leaves. He just voluntarily leaves. We put the question out there, who is this better for, Kentucky or Arkansas? And I know, CeCe, you think it's better for Arkansas, add-on sports ESPN, because you think the Kentucky fans are maybe a little lost here as to how they're looking at things.
Yeah, I got to know who's the next coach before I can judge the move from Kentucky to allow Coach Cal to walk out of the door. I mean, this is somebody that had a $33 million buyout, so he wasn't going to be fired. This was going to have to be a move on his own volition, and for him to volunteer and go to a lesser program in Arkansas or a program with a lower profile than the one that he's currently at, it's a bit of a head-scratcher, especially with all of the talent that he's been able to get to Kentucky. I mean, right now he's got 6 top 100 recruits signed up to come play at Kentucky next year. 3 of those guys are in the top 25. I mean, he had Rob Dillingham. He had Reed Shepard. Both of those guys are going to be high lottery picks this upcoming draft. Like, he's had no shortage of talent at Kentucky. He's had 35 first-round draft picks. That's the second most by any head coach at one school in the common draft era. Like, this is somebody that has had a lot of success, even though he's not winning championships as often as Big Blue Nation wants him to. So for Coach Cal to voluntarily decide to leave and to go to Arkansas, it just makes me wonder whether or not the shine has come off of Kentucky basketball.
This is ego on both sides. Kentucky saying, you haven't been good enough. You haven't met the standards that are set for Kentucky basketball. And even though they didn't fire him, we know that that's the sentiment that's been coming out of Kentucky around Coach Cal this season.
So we want to get rid of you. We just don't want to pay the buyout. So we're just going to tell you that we're not going to give you any more NIL money. We're going to tell you that we're not going to be able to facilitate you bringing in these high-profile prep players that you're accustomed to having. I just, to me, that's a dangerous game if you're going to go down that road with Kentucky, because now, all of a sudden, that is the backdrop for whatever pitch that you're going to make to a coach that you think would get this program back to, you know, being one of the upper echelon places in college basketball. I think that's a dangerous game that Kentucky is playing.
It is, but they're basically saying you aren't meeting what we deem to be the standard here, okay? That's an ego thing. And Cal saying, okay, really? Well, let me go somewhere else. If you're going to take me off that pedestal, I'm going to go somewhere where they're going to put me right back on one. Mm-hmm. And that's what Arkansas is doing right now. I mean, they were 16 and 17 last year. They were 11th in the SEC. You just outlined it, Evan. We're coming off an undefeated South Carolina beating Caitlin Clark, who's one of the biggest stories in sports. No doubt. We have a men's national championship tonight. We have all this stuff going on in the NBA, a solar eclipse, an earthquake, and here we are leading the show with John Calipari going to Arkansas. It was a great move for them for that reason alone, that he is going to bring eyeballs to their program. You know he's going to be able to bring recruits, and we're going to see who's right. We're going to see if Kentucky is able to be better without him or if he's able to be better without Kentucky.
There are some people that when we have the opportunity to do national radio like we do and television that are just as polarizing as could be. John Calipari is one of those people.
No doubt.
It's for odd reasons, because there's always a debate as to, is he good? Is he not good? Is he great? Is he not great? What is he great at? He's definitely great at recruiting great people to go and make millions, right? Tyrese Maxey, right? You talk about the Sixers, one of his guys. Tyrese Maxey is like the nicest guy in the NBA, so kind. I mean, that's the kind of person you want on your resume if you're Arkansas. You want him going to your school now.
But you're looking at players like that and you're saying they've all been at Kentucky. Why not more banners?
Okay, good. I'm glad you went there, Smalls. There is an assumption that John Calipari is going to want all of the recruits from Kentucky to join him in Arkansas. My question is why? Because he only recruited one-and-done guys at Kentucky. So maybe part of this is, I know I have to change. I can't change here without kicking out the people that I already recruited. I then have to walk to the family's homes and say to them, I know I told you your son could play here, but now I need to get a transfer from Detroit Mercy. I can't have you, because that guy is going to be here for 3 years. Your son is only going to be here for 1 year. I can't have him anymore.
Let me tell you what he's not going to do. That. He's going to try to bring all of those recruits that he has signed up to Kentucky.
But is that smart?
I think the difference would be, with Coach Cal and the guys that would be incumbent players at Arkansas's program, you guys hit the portal and bounce, because you ain't going to get no burn here playing.
That's the way.
So I think that's how they would do it.
It's easier to do that elsewhere.
He would still have the opportunity to go out and get more upperclassmen to fill out the roster so that his team is more prepared for March Madness. Because I think what happened to Coach Cal is that he's behind the curve when it came to adjusting to this new era of transfer portal. And he's still living in the world where the one-and-done talent is enough to overcome anything else that you might be faced with once you get into the NCAA tournament, where we've seen that that philosophy just doesn't work out this time of year. So it's not that having the supremely talented players won't work. It's just about having the complimentary upperclassmen to be able to guide those players into this time of year where the style of play changes. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the biggest difference. Coach Cal has got to start keeping up with the times in that way. But make no mistake about it, if any coach is given the option of being able to have talent over anything else, I think they'll take the talent. Give me the talent. I'll figure out what to do with it. Coach Cal has undoubtedly been able to get the talent. Now it's just about being able to put more experience on the floor with that talent to make it translate to team success.
I think what you said is very fair, and it's a good compromise of both of our thoughts here, right? Because I think he's got to tell some people, you're not on the team anymore.
I think it's the guys at Arkansas right now.
Right, because he didn't recruit them. He doesn't have to talk to the parents. And John Calipari, to his credit, is very much in touch, per all reports, with the kids, the parents, the family members. And he realizes, hey, if you're sending your kid to come play for me, I am now the acting parent in Lexington, Kentucky, so to speak, or in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So there's a couple of things I want to ask you guys. Did he run away from something or to something?
Can it be both?
I think he ran to something. He ran to open arms. He ran to some place where he's going to get the love.
Okay.
And he's going to get the adulation. I think that is important for Coach Cal in terms of him being able to have peace of mind to do what he does and to focus on basketball and focus on the development of these young players.
Yeah. I think it's both. I think he ran away from pressure and from a situation that was pretty volatile. It didn't seem like it was going to end well either way for Coach Cal in Kentucky. And to something that he feels like is a fresh start. The money is comparable. It's in the SEC. I feel like he's running towards what he thinks is a next step for him to prove that he still got it.
One other quick one. Are you surprised he didn't do something different? If he's going to leave Kentucky, he didn't retire. He didn't go to TV. He didn't become an agent. He didn't go to the NBA. He went to another SEC. He didn't go to USC, which would be totally different. Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't do something different.
If you're going to stick it to Kentucky, why not do it in their backyard?
Well, then, if that's his motivation, this college basketball season next year is going to be fascinating. Jeff in Wisconsin listening on the ESPN app. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I totally empathize with Arkansas fans today because I'm sure they feel the same way I felt when the Bucks hired Doc Rivers. You're going to be good. You're going to make the playoffs. You're going to make the tournament. Not going to win a championship. Doc Rivers is still getting paid from his, 2007, 2008 championship? When did Cal win his 2012?
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for Arkansas fans because I feel bad for myself. No championships. Sorry. Cancel Christmas.
Yeah, but with your analogy, I mean, Coach Cal has been to the championship rounds a lot more recently than Doc Rivers has, right? I mean, the knock on Doc Rivers was second round exits with the Sixers and with the Clippers. Right. I mean, Coach Cal has been to a Final Four, what was it, 2015, 2016, the last time he went? He's gone to four Final Fours in 15 years as the head coach. That's once every 3 years. He's giving you a chance to win a championship. So, I mean, it's not all bad when it comes to Cal. I just think that in the era of transfer portal, he was behind the curve when it came to roster construction and putting together a team that knows how to win once we get to a single elimination tournament.
I don't think that's the worst comparison I've ever heard, though. I think it is interesting. Like, you're hiring a name brand and you're assuming something that may not happen, right? Bucks fans are now assuming it won't happen with Doc. We'll see with Arkansas. I think Calipari will be very motivated right off the jump. Very motivated. Adam in New York watching on ESPN2. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys. How are you? Love the show.
Thank you.
Evan, actually, it's Adam Shadikoff. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good, good, good. So I have a question for you guys slash another interesting potential option as a replacement for Calipari at Kentucky. What do you guys think about – now, I know he just signed a six-year contract last year with St. John's, but Pitino, he coached Kentucky years ago. He had a lot of success. He even admitted that he regretted leaving for the Celtics in 97. What do you guys think of that?
It is a really interesting one, the idea of Pitino back to Kentucky.
Oh.
Is that a – CeCe, you brought this up, the idea. Is that a couple-ish swings and misses, and all of a sudden you save face?
Yeah, if you don't get your first, second, or third choice. I don't know how you hire Pitino back in this current climate, though.
Pitino at Kentucky?
We live in a different world than we did, 10 years ago. That is awfully dicey.
But like Pitino at Kentucky that's with
one
Cal,
of your that's one of your Arkansas. Hold your nose to make the hire to excite the fan base. But, I mean, it's going to be received well by Kentucky basketball fans, but not many other people would feel the same way about it.
But I wonder if they care about that. They're just trying to win, right?
God, that would be great. It would be great for us.
It would be phenomenal for us.
All right, a lot going on in the NFL. We're just a couple of weeks away from the NFL draft. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL reporter, will join us next. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We are just a couple of weeks away from the NFL Draft. We will be there. Our coverage here on Unsportsmanlike Live from Detroit. CC will be a part of the ESPN Radio Draft coverage Thursday and Friday night.
Do we know where we're doing the show from in Detroit?
A broadcast location?
I think that's where
we have no idea.
No, I think Nuno knows. No idea. Nuno, do you know?
I do know.
Okay.
There's actually an ESPN bet at one of the local casinos.
So oh, awesome. Do it from
a hello.
That'll be fun in the
That'll
morning.
Be great.
Canty's best bet of the night.
Do we know where it's
casino.
At, Nuno? Where it actually is, though? Where this casino
Detroit.
Is? It's at Detroit. Okay. All right.
On that note.
That really narrows it down.
Yeah.
I'm now nervous.
Why?
Am I going to be able to control my eating at a sports ESPN Bet Sportsbook Casino? You know how much food there's going to be there?
Yeah, but that early in the morning?
You're
getting after it?
For us?
I mean, are you getting after it that early in the morning?
Well, we'll see. We'll see how far away we're staying.
I feel like with breakfast, you don't have really a ton of options, right? You have the fewest options at breakfast than any meal of the day. Right, with lunch, with dinner, you have so many other foods that you can get into.
Because you can include breakfast. With
breakfast, it's kind of simple, right? It's either you're going to go with the eggs, you got the pancakes, you got the French toast, and that's about it.
Are we going sweet or savory?
That's it.
All right, Dan Graziano joins this conversation, ESPN NFL reporter. What a conversation you just walked into, Graz. We are a few weeks away from the draft. It feels like the differing opinions on J.J. McCarthy, the Michigan quarterback, are all over the board. What is your latest opinion on where J.J. McCarthy could land in the draft?
I think the Giants like him. I think I believe that. You know, it's a tough time of year to know what to believe. So my guess is he probably doesn't get past that sixth spot. Now, does somebody else trade up? Do they have to trade up to go get him? Could there be a surprise where one of the teams in the top three likes him better than Drake May or Jaden Daniels? Yeah, but I would think he's probably a top six pick. That's as far as I'm willing to go at this stage.
Dan, this weekend, our very own Jeremy Fowler reported that the Atlanta Falcons had Michael Penix Jr. in for a workout, and they don't believe that he's going to be there when they pick in the second round. So curious to know, is the interest between Mike and Michael Penix Jr. real for the Atlanta Falcons?
I think that's the kind of thing where they're like, let's take a look and see, right? Because Kirk Cousins is not a long timer in Atlanta, right? It's probably 2 years. So yeah, let's see if this is worth it kind of thing. A lot of teams just really like to take a look at quarterbacks, even if it's just to find out what makes them tick. You know, Andy Reid used to say, like, he always likes to interview the quarterbacks, even though he doesn't need one, just because, you know, you never know what kind of information you might glean about it. Got potentially an opponent. So I mean, obviously Kirk Cousins is going to be Atlanta's starter for the next couple years. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those fact-finding missions where, like, hey, if this is somebody we really think highly of, and let's say we could get him in the early second round, right, then, yeah, sure, we'll take a look.
Dan, is there another team out there that maybe we haven't put in that quarterback conversation? Maybe they have somebody at the position, but they could surprise us and go for a quarterback in the draft?
Would the Saints count?
Yes.
I mean, they have Derek Carr with big guaranteed money this year, but nothing after this year. And so they're probably looking for a long-term solution. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that's a team with some history of moving up in the draft to get guys they want. So that's probably your answer, I would think. Top of my head, just kind of imagining what the second half of the round looks like, that would be the team that stands out to me.
We're talking with Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL reporter here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Dan, who gets a deal done long-term first, Dak Prescott or Micah Parsons?
Oh, geez. Well, I'll say this. I don't think either one of those deals happens in the 2024 calendar year. So let's say Dak next year, because they're going to have to, right? Like, he'll be a free agent if he gets to next March. So I would say that happens after next season ends, and then maybe Micah happens next summer. That's my bet. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is the guy they have to do sooner than either one of those two. So I think once somebody signs, let's say Justin Jefferson finally signs or something like that, then the wide receiver market starts to move. That's probably the extension the Cowboys do first.
Dan, how do people in NFL circles anticipate the ongoing legal situation with Rashee Rice in Dallas impacting the Kansas City Chiefs draft plans?
You know, it's and again, I don't like to – everybody understands, hopefully. I'm not equating situations. But there was a year, I would say 5-6 years ago, remember when they had Tyreek Hill? And right around the draft, there was all kinds of, like, audio coming out about, like, fights between him and his girlfriend, and there was concern that he might be suspended. And they drafted Mecole Hardman in, like, the second or third round. And I think there was a thought that maybe they were hedging against the possibility of not having Tyreek Hill for a while. So I think if you look back at that history of the Chiefs, if they are concerned that they would lose Rashee Rice for a period of time, maybe they address wide receiver earlier in the draft than they otherwise might have, just based on their history with that situation, which, again, I'm not equating anything. I'm just saying, like, that was a time when they had a wide receiver, a fast wide receiver, that they thought they might not have for a while, and so they drafted another fast wide receiver to kind of hedge against that. So my guess is that would be the move. I don't know the severity of the Rashee Rice situation and what will come of it ultimately, obviously, but if they're concerned about being short there, then I wouldn't be surprised to see them address that in a wide receiver heavy draft.
Dan, do you think that we could see them make a move to get up higher in the draft to get one of those top name guys?
From 32, where they're always picking?
Yes.
I think it's going to be, you probably have to get in the top 10 to get one of the top three guys, right? So that's a pretty big move. I don't know, especially considering there'd be competition probably from teams with higher picks. And then those teams in the top 10, like if you look at Arizona and the Chargers and the Bears at 9, you know, they're going to be motivated to get one of those wide receivers. So I think that's a tough move. But the good thing for the Chiefs and all those teams that are picking down near the bottom around Buffalo, et cetera, is there seem to be just all kinds of inventory at the wide receiver position this year.
Gross, now that Steph Diggs has been traded, is there another player on a team that you think we should keep an eye on by way of trade before the draft?
The one I keep coming back to is Brandon Ayuk with the 49ers. And I think, you know, the Niners have said they don't want to deal him. But like I said earlier, with regard to CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson, we don't know what the top of the wide receiver market is going to look like until somebody signs. And if it gets to a point where the Niners feel like they can't trade him or can't pay him, then I think he becomes a possibility. Or maybe Deebo Samuel, if they can get somebody interested. I don't see them being able to pay both of those guys at the top of the market. So I would keep an eye on that situation. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's somebody I'm not thinking of, but that's the one I keep coming back to when I get asked that question.
Well, that's a juicy one. There's no question about that if that happens.
Yeah, and again, look, I mean, I take the Niners at their word that they don't want to trade them. They'd like to pay them. But my point is, like, they don't know yet what it's going to cost, right? Because nobody does. Because, like, if Justin Jefferson comes in at $31 million a year, versus if he comes in at $36 million a year, you know, that changes everything. So my point is there could come a situation where their hand is forced.
Graz, thank you as always. We'll talk to you later in the week.
My pleasure. Thank you.
There's Dan Graziano, of course, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up last night, an injury in the NBA that one person on this show certainly can relate to. We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Wolves Lakers last night. Wolves win, though. LeBron did not play flu-like symptoms.
He was very supportive of the women's championship, though. Give him credit on that.
He was.
On Twitter, going off on how great that game was, and it was with South Carolina winning and supporting Caitlin Clark, and I guess wasn't feeling well, didn't play last night. And T-Wolves have
Can
become...
Can you be active on Twitter when you're not going to play in the game later on that night?
If you're a LeBron James, probably.
Can you be doing all of that?
Probably. I mean, I think you can do what you want.
Consider where the Lakers are right there. You know, we actually have a legitimate chance to not be in the play-in. I mean, is that a thing?
So as a Lakers fan, are you upset that LeBron was tweeting when he was not feeling well?
I feel a way because you couldn't have been, dog couldn't have been that sick. It couldn't have
Glad
been
you
bad.
Said it because I was thinking it.
It couldn't have been that bad. Like, where you're tweeting what's going on in the women's national championship game, but you don't feel well enough to play? I'm just putting it out there. I mean, he is LeBron James. I get it, the second greatest player ever. Yeah. But at the same time, as a Lakers fan, I don't feel great about it, especially with how competitive that game was yesterday. I mean, that was a ball game, and it shouldn't have been. When AD gets knocked out of that game, I guess he catches one to the face from Naz Reid, knocks him out, aggravates an eye injury that he had. The Lakers should not have had any chance to be competitive, but they were. I mean, Jackson Hayes was awesome. Rui played well. And I hate to give this guy any credit, but D'Angelo Russell played well as well. So it's just, that was a game that the Lakers shouldn't have been in, but they found themselves in. And just knowing how thin the margin of error is for them, I feel a way that LeBron James wasn't able to play, but he was able to tweet about the women's game last night.
Well, it's interesting. And by the way, the Wolves have become a hot ticket. We know that. Brought to you by Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Get great deals on the hottest tickets. Experience it live. Couple of kind of branches off of that tree, right? LeBron tweeting about the women's game. Bronny announces on Friday that he's entering the NBA draft and also keeping his options open for transferring, which we had no idea the destination on Friday. Do we know now? Is he going to Arkansas? Just throwing that out there.
I'm just saying, the must bus was like, hey, we'd like you to come back to USC.
He may go to his other school, though, that he just left.
Yeah.
Couldn't you see him going to Arkansas with Calipari? Just throwing that out there. LeBron and Calipari, very close. Mm-hmm. Maybe we have a little mystery on Friday about Bronny because that move hadn't happened.
But it was coming down the pipeline.
And if anybody would know about it first, LeBron, or at least he would say he would know about it first, one or the other. But Anthony Davis did get hurt in this game, hurt his eye, which is something, unfortunately, CeCe, I know near and dear to your heart, because that is an injury that you have had many of times in the NFL.
Yeah, I had a detached retina, several detached retinas, but having one in the middle of the season was really tough. On the year we went on a championship run, a lot of people don't know this, but I had a detached retina in the playoffs, so I literally can't see half the field when I'm trying to compete and win a championship. Now, all's well that ends well. We won a championship, and I was able to play in that Super Bowl. But, I mean, that is something that is incredibly tough to deal with as a high-level athlete. And so with AD dealing with that, don't know what the extent of the injury is. I don't know if it's as severe as what I had. But there is optimism around the Lakers that he is going to be available to play when they tip off against the Golden State Warriors, I think, tomorrow night. So I'm not too panicked about it, mm-hmm. but it is something that does, you know, create some angst in terms of, you know, what the Lakers could be and them potentially going on a deep playoff run. Because if they are going to try to get back to the Western Conference Finals, Anthony Davis is going to have to be the best player on the court.
He's the key.
Like, he has got to be the best player on the court. And what he does and how he transforms this team defensively is going to matter once the style of play changes when we get to the NBA playoffs.
Before we get back to the basketball part about this, I have a retina question.
Yeah.
When your retina is detached like that, can you not see at all out of that eye, or is it blurry? What's the vision like?
It's not great. You can see light, but that you can't focus it or anything like that because the retina is detached. So,
My gosh.
And when you say a lot of people didn't know that, did your coach and teammates know that?
Oh, yeah, they knew it.
Okay,
yeah,
I didn't know if you meant that was something that I know how good we are and I gotta keep it from
them. They knew it, and the Giants gave it a choice of do you want to play, because everybody would understand if you want to get this repaired. I'm like, there's no way that I'm going to miss out on a chance to win a championship. So that takes that all in to a different level.
No doubt.
I was literally blind in my left eye playing to try to win a Super Bowl.
But were you nervous in any way, shape, or form that they were going to be extra focused on you? Like if you missed a play, if you missed something during the course of the game, they were going to blame the eye and say, okay, we can't have you play. Like they were going to have that focus on you?
There's an easy solution for that. Don't miss any plays, which I didn't.
Easier said than done. Like, well, at least for you, that's easier said than done. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the Lakers obviously need AD. It's amazing when you look at the standings now because the Lakers and the Warriors, we had been hyped up for that 9-10 matchup. Mm-hmm. It's probably not going to happen now. The Warriors clinched last night with their win and the Rockets loss. They're going to make the playoffs. So all the conversation about the Warriors not making the playoffs, that's over. They are in 9-10 right now. But if you told me the Lakers got all the way up to the sixth seed, it wouldn't be surprising. They're only two games back in the loss column of Sacramento, New Orleans, and Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Dallas has pretty much solidified themselves in the five spot. Clippers have solidified themselves in the four spot. That's going to be the matchup in the first round, which is going to be an awesome matchup. And they've had a rivalry now, Dallas and LA, in the first round.
I mean, with the way that Kyrie Irving and Luka are playing, do you want any parts of that if you're the Clips? Do you want any parts of that?
No.
Kawhi's not afraid of anybody if he's healthy, though.
Kawhi might not be afraid of anybody, but you ain't got to be afraid to get your ass whipped. I mean, did you see what Kyrie Irving did yesterday to Dylan Brooks? I mean, he had that dude in the spin cycle. Dylan Brooks didn't know if he was coming or going. Like, he dropped 48 on him yesterday. And then Luka Doncic, for good measure, what he was able to do. Now, none of that happens unless Dante Exum hits that three to push the game into overtime. But, I mean, those two were phenomenal. I mean, the way that they've been able to gel, the chemistry that they've been able to develop in the second half, I mean, that is a scary team. Now, it feels like it's defense optional with the Mavs, but with the way that they can score – I mean, that might not come into play until they get to the championship rounds of the playoffs.
We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, on a wild day here. Solar eclipse this afternoon, WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes last night was a huge story. Of course, South Carolina winning the national championship is a monster story and an awesome end to a season in women's college basketball that catapulted that sport to a level that it has never been before. We hope it's the first step of many levels that it's going to, both in the professional and collegiate side, as well as the national championship game tonight at about midnight between UConn and Purdue. Why we need to start that at 9:20 p.m. Eastern time is beyond
me. Why? Well,
I have no idea.
It drives me nuts.
Yesterday was perfect.
It was awesome.
Yeah, the
3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Awesome.
I mean, it allowed my 7-year-old daughter was all in on the game. My kids can't watch tonight. You want to get people involved in men's college basketball? They can't. They won't watch 1 second of the national championship game tonight. Not one.
All right, so I got a question for you. The Iowa-UConn game Friday night, 10 million viewers checked in.
I was shocked.
I'm curious to know, do you think that number will be over or under?
Over.
Over tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tonight or yesterday?
Tonight.
Oh, under.
You think under?
I think
you think tonight's result will be under the Final Four matchup is what you're saying?
Well, I think here's what
I'm asking him. The women's Final Four game between UConn and Iowa that happened Friday night. That was a 9 p.m. tip.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know, do you think that the total viewership will be under or over tonight at 9?
That's a hard one because
I know
tonight. Okay, here's the thing. We have the fact that it's at 9:20 Eastern, which stinks for people that are up with us right now early, right? Because we're talking to an audience that either is coming off of work or going to work, which means it's early, right? It is a star-studded matchup tonight.
Yes, it is.
It feels a little bit more star-studded than we've had in years past.
Because you got Klingon versus Edie.
You have two big, enormous guys that are 7'2", 7'4", respectively, and a defending champ going for back-to-back, and a one seed that last year lost to a 16. Could they come back and win a championship like your school did at Virginia?
Yeah.
Like, there is some star power here. I will say, I think yesterday will outrate everything.
I agree.
3 p.m. Eastern on ABC, with Dawn Staley in South Carolina going for an undefeated season versus Caitlin Clark, I think that'll have enormous numbers.
But the fact that we're having this conversation is a testament to where the women's game has gone.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But it's got to continue, right? And that's the key. And I think it will, and it'll be interesting to see where. Is it more in the W? Like, to me, there's already been a little bit of a rivalry between some of the WNBA players, Diana Taurasi and others that have said things about Caitlin Clark, and now Caitlin Clark. Like, I'm actually interested in seeing some of the trash talking over the course of time. It's not just Taurasi, but you get what I'm saying here with that. Yeah. That's a good thing.
How will she adapt to the WNBA game?
Yeah, no? I mean, don't you think
I can't wait to see that play out. And the fact that Angel Reese is going at the same time and, you know, maybe that rivalry...
I mean, ex-WNBA players, I'm saying, who have said this. Yes. Much, yeah.
But maybe that rivalry doesn't present itself so much at the outset of their WNBA careers because we don't know how much they'll be playing, etc. But I fully anticipate that that will be there as their profiles grow in the league.
Yeah, I don't know that we've ever seen an incoming class of WNBA players that people have been more excited about.
Agreed.
Like, I'm interested in a Phoenix, Indiana game now with Taurasi and company against her.
Oh, no doubt. That's going to be spicy.
Right now, I'm interested in seeing that. By the way, the other thing that's a huge story today, as we've been discussing, Calipari going to Arkansas. We put up a poll at Unsports ESPN. Coach Cal to Arkansas is better for Arkansas or Kentucky? Who do you think is leading that poll right now?
Arkansas.
I'm going to say Kentucky.
Kentucky 50.5%, Arkansas 49.5%.
Yeah. So it's close.
It's crazy. It is crazy how many people think that this is actually good for Kentucky as well as good for Arkansas.
It better be. I'm curious to know, Evan. I know we got to go a break. We're up against it. Who do they have to land to make this the right move for Kentucky?
In order for that vote to be correct, has to be Billy Donovan or Jay Wright or Brad Stevens. Probably not. I think Nate Oates. Nate Oates has proven himself Alabama coach to be an exciting hire.
So they've got to get one of those four in order for this to be the right decision.
There probably are other ones. I have to look. I don't buy. I know people are saying it. I just don't buy Danny Hurley's going to go there. I don't see that either.
No.
And while friend of the show, Nate Oates, has done a remarkable job, do we think Kentucky fans will think that he's a big enough name to take that job? Will they be excited about somebody like him if he's in fact the guy?
I think they'll be excited about it. I'm just fascinated to see if Nate Oates would go. He told us about the built-in advantage that he has playing at Alabama, knowing how good the football team is and how much revenue they generate. And how much money that brings into his program through the athletic department.
He's coming off a good
season.
That's
a huge advantage.
I'll give you another one.
That's the advantage that nobody talks about. It's a huge advantage.
I'll give you one other one. He's older, but Kelvin Sampson?
Not
that's a hell of a coach.
Not bad.
He's great.
He's 68 years old, but that's a hell of a coach. All right, coming up, Pat Costello has I'm Over It, but first... We were just talking about breakfast moments ago, right? It's an important part of the day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. That's brutal. You know what happens? You get a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely, and now the rest of the day is ruined. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, waffles. You're about to check into a La Quinta right now, even if you don't need to go to a hotel for that breakfast. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh, hot waffle? I do. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes! Each and every day at this time, we go to the producer of the WrestleMania preview show on Saturday.
Great show.
He is so proud of it, as he should be. More proud of that than I think this show, as a matter of fact.
Probably. Yeah.
Here he is, future teacher, Pat Costello.
Future teacher?
Yeah, he's going to be a teacher one day. Yeah.
I considered it. My parents talked me out of it. They're both teachers.
Well, I would love teachers. To see Pat Costello on Abbott Elementary.
So would I.
Love it. We got to make that happen.
Pat, what grade would you teach if you were a teacher?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you. Could not teach elementary school. It would have
it's
to be...
Hard.
Yeah, you could not.
No,
middle school is hard, too.
I don't think you have the patience, Pat.
It would have to be high school,
worse
I think.
Than elementary school.
I am very lucky.
Be the worst of the lot.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, kids are musty, but they don't know that they're gonna get musty now. Like they just have the smells around a middle school. I don't know, man.
And the hormones.
Yeah, just I don't know.
The fresh
yeah,
hormones.
Exactly. Just coming to that self awareness. Yeah. I don't know.
My son is in middle school. It's interesting. He's in fifth grade. Yeah. So they do fifth grade where I live in middle school. I was always sixth grade, but he has a wonderful teacher. So multiple teachers. So we got lucky in that regard, but I don't know how they do it on their end. I have no idea. That seems like the most impossible job in the
world. They should canonize middle school teachers. They should be put in sainthood. Like that's how serious it is in middle school.
I agree. Yeah. All right,
elementary, high school, middle school, dangerous.
Yeah.
That was my dad. He was a middle school teacher for 35 years or something.
Wow,
that explains a lot.
Yeah.
A lot about you.
I did not realize that this solar eclipse thing was such a big deal until this morning. I'm pretty stunned by it. Why is it a big deal? Why do we care so much? It's going to be dark for like, I don't know what, a half hour or something.
It's
like,
a rarity.
Why do we care so much?
All right,
it's
a little behind
this is bizarre
the scenes
to me.
On this. So Javante, Nuno, and I were talking about this morning before the show, and Pat had that reaction. And I'm like, Pat, this is the biggest story in the country.
I didn't realize it was today.
By far. It's all anyone outside of this and inside of the sports world is actually talking about. And they've been talking about it for weeks, and he had no idea. How does he not know? You can debate if it should be a big idea.
Listen,
or a big thing.
We're a little insulated in this job. You know, there's always a game to watch. There's always a new storyline. There's always something to read. Sometimes the news outside of sports takes a backseat for people like us. So I can understand how Pat might not be aware of the eclipse.
I get where Pat is coming from, though, because there are people that are literally organizing their day, their week around this event this afternoon.
Oh, there's watch parties.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I ain't doing all that, dog. Like, I got stuff to do. Like, I got adulting after the show. And if it conflicts with my opportunity to see the solar eclipse, so be it. Now, I get it. It only happens once every 20 years, so once every couple of decades. So I understand why people would make a big deal of it and prioritize it. But let me tell you what I ain't going to do is prioritize seeing the solar eclipse today. If I just so happen to have some free time around 3 o'clock, then cool. But I ain't going out of my way to watch it. I'm with Pat on that one.
Next one, Pat.
Angel Hernandez is a joke of an umpire and does not deserve to have a job. Every single game he's part of, he ruins. He destroys games by just making the worst, most embarrassing calls. In a sport that is riddled with embarrassments already, Angel Hernandez needs to be done in Major League Baseball. I'm sick and tired of seeing clips of Angel Hernandez just making the worst calls that you could possibly imagine on a daily basis. Why does he still have a job? He's terrible.
Yeah, there's no way a batter can control the zone with Angel Hernandez as the umpire. Like, I just get sick of watching it too, Pat. I'm with you on that one, man. I don't understand why we haven't gone to the electronic strike zone where we have it on the TV every single broadcast that we watch for Major League Baseball. It makes no sense to me. Like, we have the tools to be able to do it. Why won't we do it? Is it because of the umpires and them having a union or trying to protect their job security? I don't understand how that's a good enough reason to not be accurate when it comes to calling balls and strikes in this day and age. I'm sorry, I don't want to see that. I mean, if we want to have more offense, if we want to have more action, then have the electronic strike zone and force pitchers to throw strikes rather than have pitchers like Sonny Gray that make a living off of nibbling on the strike zone. Like, I just don't understand it. It makes me sick. And Angel Hernandez is a symptom of a bigger issue in the sport.
Is there any other profession where you could be consistently awful at it and keep your job? For like, why is it that Major League Baseball is allowing this to happen? I don't understand it.
When Angel Hernandez threw out Lance Lynn during a spring training game, I was like, really? Come on. I mean, we've been talking about this guy for years, though. He always finds a way to make it about him. And I think we will get there with the electronic strike zone, but you have to make sure that there are no issues with that when you roll that out.
I wonder if these sports actually like it. Like,
the
is there
controversy?
I watched the Heat Pacers game last night, and Scott Foster intentional miss for Tyler Hero at the free throw line called a lane violation on Kevin Love. And I'm thinking to myself, what are we doing here? There's a lane violation on every free throw, right? Angel Hernandez has a bad call almost on every single game he umps. Is there any part of these leagues that's like, yeah, you know what? It adds another villain to the sport.
But why do you want the umpire to be the villain.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm asking.
We shouldn't even know the umpire's name.
I'm not hiring him. I'm not hiring him. Don't come at me.
I know.
I don't want the ump. I don't want the ref to be a part of the story. Okay. I just don't.
But you knew what I was talking about when I brought up Scott Foster, called a lane violation.
No, and I think it's
he's
and I
terrible.
Think it's, but here's the thing: I think it's great that the NFL doesn't really have that problem anymore.
No,
we don't have that problem where it's like, oh, well, we got to watch out because this guy is refereeing this game. That's kind of gone away. Now I know we've had an influx of new refs in the NFL and new crews, but I'm so glad that we don't have a Scott Foster or we don't have an Angel Hernandez in the NFL.
By the way, Pat, I got Debbie on Long Island, New York, just tweeted at me out of Car Radio. A person that gets things wrong at their job more so than an umpire like Angel Hernandez? How about a weatherman or woman?
They get it right more than he does.
Do they?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, right. Angel Hernandez is awful. He's awful.
Worse than the weatherman or woman.
Worse than the weatherman or woman, yes. No question about it.
All right, next one.
Shout out to Glenn Hurricane Schwartz in Philly. Man, I was invested in WrestleMania and in Cody Rhodes, and then the end of WrestleMania happened, and I walked away from it being like, oh, all right. I guess that was cool.
Why, you didn't want Cena involved? You didn't want Taker involved?
It was fine. I think we all thought that Stone Cold Steve Austin was going to show up, and then The Undertaker did instead, and it was like, all right.
Well, you guys, nice. An Eagles fan, you got Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know,
it was. I'm like, oh, okay, that was fine.
Well, I guess we're not promoting your show anymore based on that reaction.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle.